Is it possible to die to the law and to die to the law through the law? Paul said he did. Welcome to our study of Galatians chapter 2. Today we begin with verse 19. Listen again to it. For I through the law died to the law, that I might live to God. The passage is difficult to many people. Here Paul is expanding his argument in the rebuke to Peter by explaining why he could never rebuild the law system. Now we talked about that in the previous verse. In verse 18 he wrote, "For if I build up again those things which I tore down, then I prove myself a transgressor." And there, of course, he's talking about how if he, as a Christian, who found acceptance with God through faith apart from the law, and then later rebuilds that law as being essential in his life in order to please God, then he would prove himself to be a transgressor. Then in verse 19 he said, "For I, through the law, died to the law, that I might live to God." I can imagine Peter hearing this statement and saying, "If Paul died to the law, then I must have died to the law also." Now let me ask this question. Ponder it, please. Did Christ die to the law? Of course he did. And since he did, Paul can claim the same for himself. Because to believe in Christ is to be united with him in his death. What killed Christ? That may sound like a strange question, but I mean what killed Christ, not who killed Christ. We all are familiar with who killed him. But Galatians 3:10 tells us there was a what. "For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, 'Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them.'" And now verse 13 explains it. "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed be everyone who hangs on a tree.'" What killed Christ? The curse of the law. When he volunteered to step into the sinner's place and take the sinner's punishment, he came under the sinner's curse. The curse of the law. It's the law of sin and death. If you sin, you die. There's no way out of that. There must be a death for sin. Now, you can die for your own sins, and many people will die for their own sins, but it won't do them any good, because they'll be dead. They lose their life in the process. But there is good news that is announced through the whole world, that Jesus Christ took the curse for us and died in our place. And that God is happy with that. He has accepted it. He is satisfied. And he will accept anyone who believes in his Son for that salvation. Now, this is good news. You see, the law cursed the sinner and demanded the death penalty, and when Christ took the sinner's place, the law's penalty fell on him. Peter understood that. He said, "For Christ also died for sins, once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that he might bring us to God." Oh, what a remedy that was! The just one, Jesus, died for us, the unjust. He died for our sins, and he did it once, for all of our sins, for all time, in order that he might bring us to God. Galatians 2:19 expresses a very important positional truth. It tells the Christian that when he believes in Christ for salvation, he dies with Christ in the eyes of the law. This is true because Christ is the Christian substitute. He died in my place, and his death counts as my death in the eyes of the law. The law counts. The law is important. Why? Because it's God's law. It's his standard. But Christ fulfilled it. he met the demands of that holy and righteous law of God. Now, in this verse, Paul is not only claiming to have died through the law, he also claims to be dead to the law. That's a logical consequence of death. Why so? Because a dead man is not concerned with the law, and law can claim nothing from him. The law is for living people. We don't pass laws to control or punish people in the graves. They are dead to the law. If a murderer dies on his way to the electric chair, he escapes the law and is dead to it. He is just as dead to it as if he were executed by the law following his conviction, and the law can have no more control over him. And after he has been executed by the law, he thereafter is dead to the law, and if he should rise again, the law couldn't condemn him anymore, because it calls for only one death, for sin. Now listen to Romans chapter 7, verse 1 through 4. Or do you not know, brethren, that the law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives? For the married woman is bound by the law to her husband while he is living. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law concerning the husband. Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law. How? Through the body of Christ. Read Romans chapter 7. Those first half a dozen verses, it'll teach you how the Christian has died to the law and is freed from the law. Now, not many believers understand this. They live by law, and they teach the law. And if you have attended Sunday school classes, you know that in thousands of such classes throughout this country, the law of Moses is being taught to Christians. The law was my introduction to religion. I was made to memorize the Ten Commandments, but I learned nothing about being dead to the law. Being dead to the law, of course, is not our goal, but it's a necessary step to a new life. Paul explains this in Galatians 2:20. He writes, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Notice the tense of the verb, I have been crucified with Christ. That's a perfect tense. And in the Greek it means an action in past time with continuing results. Other translations put it, I am crucified with Christ, or I am being crucified with Christ. Friends, don't try to crucify yourself. If you want to be crucified, believe in Jesus Christ and you'll be united in his death and his crucifixion. The gospel doesn't ask men to crucify themselves. It tells them that Christ was crucified for them. We have all heard sermons that urged us to take up our cross and follow Jesus, but it was never made clear how we could do that. It is significant that the words, take up your cross and follow me, all occur before the death of Christ. You don't read that after the crucifixion, and there are six of those statements. They are pre-cross statements. Never were believers in the church told to take up their cross. Instead, they are told that they have gone to the cross by faith and were crucified there with Christ. There never has been a Christian who was not crucified with Christ. It is a prerequisite to new life. You can't live with Christ until you die with Christ. And you do that by believing in him. Now I want to read a passage that confirms what I just said. It's Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 5. It begins with a 4. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, and this refers to the previous passages that talks about us being buried with him through baptism into death, has nothing to do with water baptism, which many people advocate. This is talking about spirit baptism. Most people don't understand how the Greeks use that word. The word baptizo in Greek often meant to come under the influence of something. And mark this, whoever believes in Jesus Christ for salvation comes under the influence of his crucifixion, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That's how the Greeks use the word baptism. So this is not talking about baptism in water. Now, back to verse 5 of Romans 6. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now let me ask, have you become united with him in the likeness of his death? Well, you have if you believed in him. And Paul is using that absolute argument, which is true, to indicate that you're also going to be raised like him in the resurrection. And then he writes in verse 6, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, and we have, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin, once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Now notice what Paul says about life in Galatians 2:20. That's related to this passage in Romans chapter 6. I have been crucified with Christ. Every Christian has been crucified with Christ. And if you haven't been, you just haven't believed in him, because God automatically treats the death of Christ as your death when you believe. Christ died for everyone's sins, but not everyone has his sins forgiven. Only those who believe. I have some concluding remarks on this passage, but that'll have to wait until tomorrow. Did you know that the Radio Bible Course also sponsors a class on Sunday mornings, where you can hear verse-by-verse teaching of the inspired Word of God? We believe the Bible is God's Word, and we want people to know it and get the evidence for it. You'll get that in that Sunday morning Bible class. That's at 9:15. We invite you to attend. The class is free and open to the public. And if you've never written to let us know that you are one of our listeners, please do that today. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavota reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.